Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome to episode 103 of the We'll Talk About That Later podcast about football. Whilst I've got your attention, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and we'll start with Instagram and Twitter. That's at WTATL official. Follow us on TikTok. That's WTATL.podcast. And subscribe or follow wherever you're listening to, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, Google, wherever. Just hit that follow button. Right, how you guys doing?
You're not going to let me just get myself in there?
No, I mean, Abdi could have responded. He could have saved
That's
you.
True. I was about to say, I'm currently boxing off this Brazilian pizza. He's buying it off.
So. Man didn't even let us digest it yet.
Well, we're running to a tight schedule today.
What did you say? I didn't even hear your question.
I said, how are you?
Oh.
It's the same thing I ask every
I'm feel.
Week.
I'm very feel.
You're very feel. Yeah. Mark?
Hey, Mark's loving life. I'm feel as well.
You're very loving life. Cool. You know, it's a big absence today for the first part, but she'll be joining us in a bit. But we'll get started without her.
It's a good thing she's late because I was going to let rip on Tottenham for a bit.
I mean, you could do that anyway.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, I mean, honestly, I was intending to become a little bit more humble because I don't like, because we're two Arsenal fans on the podcast. So we don't want to just like slag Tottenham off all the time. But before the game.
I don't feel like we do that.
Actually. Exactly. I generally don't think we do that a lot. But
or at all. I don't feel like we do that at all.
But at least before the podcast, before the game, actually, the weekend, a certain someone was doing a lot of talking.
A lot of talking.
On and she
we
went
play the clip, you know.
Well, she went viral on this clip of her taking
play it?
Yeah, play it if you
I'll
want.
Play it. Maybe but, find it.
I was actually like I was watching a lot of all of these clips where the Tottenham fans were talking a lot, doing their combined 11, some of their rubbish players. Oh my god! But yeah. So I thought whilst Junior's looking for the clip, what did you think pre-game, Mark? What did you think? Did you think we were going to win? Do you think Tottenham were going
to
win?
Pre-game, to be honest. Both clubs are in a bit of a situation now where I just couldn't call it. Mm. Honestly, for me, it was whoever turns up on the day, which quite clearly was Arsenal,
yeah.
takes a W. And I didn't see that. I know you've got a clip ready, yeah, but yeah. I didn't see the that early aggression from Spurs that they... who was it they played the week before? Chelsea.
Chelsea.
I know they got beat 3-0 by Chelsea, but first half they were decent. Mm. And I thought they would have tried to, you know, make a couple of changes in the game plan, but just try and replicate that early pressure.
Mm.
And we didn't see that. So, but get that clip going, Junior.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a clip from, I think it was Friday.
The Football Terrace.
Yeah.
So they basically, what they had was like a live debate, in-person debate between like five Arsenal, like it was like a battle rap or something.
And the next person you're going to hear from is Tanya.
What are you saying, Tans?
I mean, I find Arsenal irrelevant now. I mean, I've said it before. We're in the mud, but they're in cement. I've said that numerous times. I don't know where the confidence is coming from. Arsenal are trash. We don't typically beat them at the Emirates, but you know what? They're coming with so much confidence. Like, they didn't lose to Brentford. Like, they didn't lose... Yeah, but listen, we beat Man City, right? I don't. My striker's not doing backflips, yeah? Scoring a hat-trick against West Brom kids. So, anyway, I'm going to say that we're going to win. We're going to smoke you because I do not like the confidence from all of you lot. What? I'm not having it. I'm not having it. We're winning this game.
Yeah, look at that. Some confidence.
All right, so shout out to the Football Terrace for those that recording there.
Nah, it's because see that's what triggered me because yeah, I saw that video. I was like, if it was Mark Taylor piss, if it was a Chelsea fan taking a piss, if it was even Man United fan because they finished above us, if it was Man City, any of those, I'd accept it. But who are you? Like, you're Tottenham. Like, behave yourselves. you don't have the clout to be able to come here and chat, open your mouth to us. Yeah, and also if you look at what she said, yeah, she said. Tottenham are in the mud and Arsenal. Who told her that was a good thing? Who told her that was a clever thing to say? Because you can actually do stuff with cement. You can build houses, build pavements. If you want to build a mud house, feel free. Yeah. And also, she said something like, "At least my striker is doing backflips, scoring against West Brom kid." Yeah, your striker seems to have lost all of his ability. The only people he can score against is Ferrer Rocher in the Europa Gypsy League. don't talk about my striker.
No,
well.
She's full of those metaphors, isn't she? Like, she even said in a Twitter clip, voice clip or whatever they call it over there, where she was like, Nuno's not on thin ice anymore. He's walking on water.
Yeah, she says that stuff a lot. Yeah.
No, but just to be fair to Tanya, while she's not here, on her way here, she did own it afterwards.
Yeah, she did.
Didn't shy away from the fact that she essentially kind of embarrassed herself with what she said pre-game, and then the outcome of the game was the complete opposite.
Yeah.
But she owned it.
And she was getting a lot of abuse as well, which obviously that's just, all of this is just banter, isn't it? And in that very video as well, I watched the whole thing, there was Arsenal fans and Tottenham fans embarrassing themselves. So she was getting a lot of stick, and also people were, like, saying a lot of sexist comments to her. So, but as if like, Tottenham fans, male, female, dog, cat, chicken, they all said stupid things going back to, you know, how long, innit? So,
but also, if you have to resort to an insult, then you've already lost the argument.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah. But aside from that, I don't know. I'm always nervous prior to a North London derby, regardless of our form, their form. Ooh, always, shock. Bro.
No. Even when we were better than them.
No, cool. Well, I said that with sarcasm, because you're going to be nervous before a derby. Yeah, big game. Honestly.
But, like, I had a slight feeling where, like, they never come to the Emirates and play well, ever. Apart from, like, that one time where they had a good 45 minutes and came from 2-0.
Well, Tanya said it in the clip, and I don't know the facts, but Tottenham don't notoriously beat you at the Emirates, do they?
I think they beat, in the Premier League era, they've beaten us away two times.
But since 92.
Since the Premier League.
And in the Emirates, they've only beaten us once.
One time in the Emirates, yeah. Now
which was 3-2.
Yeah, we were 2-0 up at halftime. So, and then I looked at the lineup and I was thinking, this is what Arteta thinks is his best available 11. So this is his team. So if you look at the team, there were 6 players he signed with 5 players that he re-signed to new contract. And it was almost like, I would have preferred Lokonga instead of Xhaka. But looking at the team, it's probably the best available we had. And boy.
To be fair, Xhaka had a good game.
He had a good game, yeah. Everyone, I can't fault anyone. Like,
credit where credit
everyone
is due.
Was very, very good. It was very clear, very early on, yeah, that Ben White was going to get really tight to Kane. So every time Kane got the ball, Ben White, boom, right in. Won all the areas.
I was about to say, he
I was just
well.
About to say that
he
as well. Not to draw you out, but in fact, it's really not to draw you out. But I was watching that game thinking, because I've watched Ben White and thought the same thing, can get easily bullied in the air. And then I realised, and we'll touch on this game later, watching Ivan Toney against Liverpool, is that actually defending against him
is really difficult, particularly
in the air. And a lot of that judgment from Ben White in terms of the aerial prowess came from that Brentford game originally. Mm-hmm. But he was really solid in the air on the weekend.
I honestly can't even criticise anyone in that game. Like, everyone, especially that first half, it was some of the best football, some of the best intensity, the aggression. Everyone had their head switched on. Some of the work rate from the front four was just incredible. Like, particularly Odegaard. Like, that guy will run from inside his own half to press Lloris. Yeah, and he was doing that the whole game, like, up until the end. And then the triangles, like, to get out of pressure as well, I was really impressed with. I think Arteta got it spot on. He said to them, press them high up. Press them high up, don't give them any space. But I think we were slightly helped by the fact that Tottenham had no midfield.
They're playing, like, 4-1-5. That's kind of...
There were large periods of the game where it was just Arsenal's midfield three in there by themselves.
Versus Højbjerg and Ali and...
And Ndombele.
And Ndombele just went missing.
Ali, most of the time, was playing right wing.
Ali barely touched the ball, man. Honestly, it was embarrassing. Like, and Tomiyasu, whew, he put Son in jail as if like he owed him money, bro.
That was your first fault?
That Son didn't get a sniff in the first half, like nothing. Every time Tomiyasu was on him, I thought Partey as well, like he ate up anything Ndombele was trying to do. He wasn't worried at all. And I felt like just the whole team in terms of the way where Tottenham would try to, like a half-hearted press, mm-hmm. the way it was very easy for us to get the ball through them and get it into like the front man. And then there was a massive gap as well.
Yeah. And our second goal was reminiscent of when Arteta first joined.
Yeah, exactly. We were seeing those kind of triangles.
Ramsdale playing it out from the back. It was a bit lucky for like Xhaka guarding the ball. No, I don't think so.
I think
he was looking for it. And then the little flicks and stuff like that. So working our way from goal to the other goal and then scoring. It was very reminiscent of...
Mm-hmm. So before the game, I was looking at some combined 11s and everything. And I'm seeing some mad stuff. Like people putting... Sergio Reggaeton in front of Tierney.
What did you just call him?
Sergio Reggaeton. Regular Don, yeah. So, instead of Tierney, are you crazy?
No, like, there was a lot of... I saw a lot of teams that only had two Arsenal players in it.
Are you crazy?
Two Arsenal players.
Højbjerg is... He is Thor in Endgame. He's so bad. Like, that guy, I don't care. I'm not having him.
I don't think he's...
He's terrible. So no, he's not.
I think he's all right. I just think he was badly exposed on
Sunday. Ndombele. What has Ndombele done to make people think he's been anything other than complete shambles since he came? No, he was in good last season.
I think that's a very bold statement.
No, I think... Not for the entirety of the season. He was good in patches last season.
He's completed nine games. He's completed 9 games since he joined Tottenham. He's joined 2019.
You don't think he was good in patches last season?
What do you? It depends what you define as a patch. One game.
No.
I'm not even.
That's not a patch. Dead
75 minutes.
Patches.
Because I'm really intrigued. Again, just to hear what your thoughts are in terms of A, what is a patch, and B, when was that patch?
There was like a 2 month period. I'm not saying throughout that entire 2 months he was outstanding or anything. I said good. Mm. Good is, you know, up to interpretation. But I think he wasn't that bad in a 2 month period where they had a lot of games and he was scoring goals. He scored that goal against Sheffield United. He was assisting and he looked like their biggest threat. We even said that on this podcast.
I think there's definitely a player in there. Well, of course there's a player in there. It was quality in France.
And it cost 60 million.
But sometimes do you think you just got to sit back and think the realism of it is that you're not suited to this league?
I mean, fitness is definitely an issue for him. He can't stay fit.
As soon as he came off the pitch, he was booking an Uber to Shisha Caf in Edgware Road. That's what he was doing. That guy, he dyed his hair blonde so he can be more like Pogba. He is diet Pogba. He's Pogba with sugar tats.
I don't think he's diet.
No, he's not dieting anything, bro. he's Pogba off Wish.
Let me ask you something then. Let's get back to the game. It must feel sweet.
Oh,
amazing, must have felt sweet. You were there.
I was there.
So Junior was there. You had really good seats, actually.
Yeah. The atmosphere is crazy, man.
I
was getting gas from Arteta celebrations.
Yeah. No, watching for me as a neutral for that game, that was, and I only watched it on TV. I wasn't there, but that's the best atmosphere I've heard and seen at the Emirates for a long time.
Yeah, I agree.
To be fair, we had COVID for like 2 years.
No, but like, even before...
No, but you know what I mean.
COVID, like, the atmosphere, it was buzzing, man. The stadium was rocking. Everything, like, there wasn't any moment where... Even when Son scored, the whole crowd was just getting behind the team. They were backing
them get back everywhere they go. I've seen that song the whole time.
Yeah, and then the Spurs fan were leaving and they were saying...
You can see you sneaking out.
Yeah. So it was just...
No, really, I like the IE Tottenham in disguise song.
Yeah. I just think it was really nice atmosphere. And someone said it behind me. He goes, if the atmosphere was this good every weekend, I don't see us losing.
It's impossible, though, isn't it? You can't get up for on a weekend at home, for example. You always get up for the derbies.
No, I know, but like that. Obviously, derby atmosphere is going to be special, but I haven't seen the Emirates like that in a while.
Yeah, just on the game though, Haaland, boys. Honestly, I felt like crying watching. For the first three, four podcasts of the season, I've been saying put Saka on the right, yeah?
Yeah.
And this is what happens. He gets a goal and assist. He terrorises regular
Don. To be fair, he came on against... Who do we play? AFC Wimbledon on the right.
Yeah, exactly. And he was really good
he
there.
He was really
as well.
Good, yeah.
You see what happens? The whole difference in approach. Like, usually when we play Pepe there, it's all down the left to Tierney, Tierney. Now, Tierney wasn't even a massive attacking factor this game.
Well, to be honest, I saw that. I thought that he must have told the fullbacks to stay back.
Well, Tierney was getting forward a bit more.
It was in patches, again, we're using the word patches, but Tierney would go up. Tomiyasu obviously stayed down, but Tomiyasu was overlapping Saka a lot of times as well. So it was, but for the majority of the time, I think it was to negate the Son and Lucas Moura thing. I saw we had a compact back four. They just stayed.
I noticed Tomiyasu was, Tierney did what you always did, overlap, you know, bomb down that wing, essentially kind of make that whole left side his own. Tomiyasu, I noticed that he was, and again, this is probably an Arteta decision. He was overlapping, but not as much. But I did see a lot of underlapping
from
Tomiyasu.
Yeah.
And you don't see that much from Tierney, but I definitely saw that from Tomiyasu kind of coming on the inside and creating that space inside as well.
He did that a lot in Italy, like from clips that I've seen. That I don't know if that's something that Arteta told him to do or that he does himself.
It's definitely the right back of the Arsenal team does not overlap. That's why it didn't work with Bellerin, because that's literally the only thing he can do is overlap. Regardless of what kind of balls he puts in, he will just overlap for no reason. So that's why I worked with Tomiyasu. He's very good in, obviously, aerially. He helps out quite a lot.
Oh, my God.
He's amazing in a 1v1 duel. He's got great energy and the enthusiasm for the game. So he's perfect for that role. I do personally like a fullback that overlaps, but I feel like it's working right now. And then the thing is...
Oh, sorry. I just on Tomiyasu, I'm keen to hear what Tanya has to say, because Tottenham were close to signing him.
Yeah, and that Emerson guy is air, man. Yeah, he came on
just to kick people.
Yeah. But I feel like Saka, I've been saying, put him on right, and that's what you get from him as well. I felt like he terrorised regular Don. And Smith Rowe as well was coming in.
He ran his socks off. Smith Rowe, there was one point in the second half, Arteta's telling him where to be, and he's saying, like, bro, my ankle's hurt. Like,
yeah, they couldn't run anymore.
But he was still running up and down, making tackles and stuff like that. So it's just like he literally ran his socks off.
Yeah. Right, aside from the game, I've got a quick couple of questions for you lot. Mm-hmm. Then I've got a couple of stats which are quite worrying if you're a Tottenham fan.
I saw those.
But I just want to ask you guys, for starters, I don't know why the question's just left my mind. But it's back again. So, right, 3 wins out of 3 in the league. 4 wins out of 4 if you include the League Cup. Mm-hmm. That puts you on 9 points. Weirdly enough, considering your start to the season, puts you 4 points off the top 4.
And above Spurs.
That is wild.
I wasn't going to push that one in there, because there's a reason why I asked you this question. So you must obviously feel a lot different and a lot more positive now as compared to, 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
For you, now that you're 4 points off the top 4, what's a good season for you now? Now you're sat here with 3 wins on the bounce in the league, got a bit of momentum, you know, you've got Brighton on the weekend. What constitutes as a good season from this point onwards for Arsenal?
Minimum top 6.
Well, for me, I mean, I'm a little bit harsher, I guess, because he spent so much money.
It should be top 4, but
I won. I even said it last season, the season before, I want to get back into the Champions League.
Of course.
Like this whole week, I have to wait until the weekend to watch football. There's no European football.
You can watch other teams.
Yeah, but still, like, I mean, to it's actually not, be nah, mentally invested as well, apart from, you know, hoping that Liverpool lose, isn't it? So, but like, the thing is as well, I can't really fault Arteta for the last 3 games. It is just 6 games we're in. But like, he said, I need my team. And he got his team and he's won every game since. So I can't really blame him for anything right now. I have to actually eat humble pie, because the goalkeeper that I was so against has been, I know it's really early, but he's been faultless.
His
since.
Save at 3-1, I think it was.
From Moura, amazing save. Well, made a good save from Kane as well.
I was about to say, even before 3-1, when it's 3-0, Kane does those early shots from outside the box.
And it bounced just in front of him, good save.
He's got something that kind of separates. And I'm not putting him in this class just yet. Let's have it clear. But he's got something that separates, you know, good keeper from, in the modern day, like an excellent keeper, which is being able to work the ball.
Yeah.
He's good
starting attacks, you know, whether it's long or short, knowing when to make that pass, you know, throwing it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You get keepers in the league like Alisson, Ederson, who are experts at that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm just getting a bit of a hint of that from Ramsdale. And again, I'm not putting him into that category. He's young. But what I see from him is something that Arsenal have lacked with Leno, with Cech, most certainly with Cech, who was a great keeper, but with the ball at his feet was a shambles.
Mm-hmm.
What you're getting with Ramsdale is a whole new element to the way you can start attacks, create attacks. Does that fill you again?
Yeah. Like, I mean, like Abdi said, I completely agree. It's too early, but three games, you can't say anything bad
about what he's done so far.
He's been dominant really in the air, like catching and all that kind of stuff. So I just think like it's a great start, and he looks like he's got a good attitude on him.
Yeah, exactly. All like of the other stuff lad. Outside of football, he communicates well.
Yeah.
He seems he's got a good, he's good relationship with the players.
And what I heard, one of my mates who's an Arsenal fan actually told me that he brought his dad's ashes.
His granddad.
And his
dad
just,
is right there.
It just, well, right, fair enough. that just made me ashes. Think, like, do you know what? That's a man who wants to make people proud, and I can respect that a lot.
It's because he's named after his granddad, and then you know, his granddad used to take him to game. His granddad, sorry, died before he was born, as his mum was pregnant. Okay. And then, but he just has this thing that he's got his granddad's name, so he wants to make his granddad proud and stuff.
Right, on to Spurs quickly. And we've got Tanya here, but we're going to be, I don't know how we're going to do this. We're going to be running a little bit over time. And if we really get into this with Tanya, we'd be here for another 20 minutes.
You had a couple more.
Yeah. Let me just start. No, less of a question and more so stats. So if you're a Spurs fan and you're listening, I'd be really interested to hear, you know, whether you're worried, whether you think these are kind of just flash in the pan stats and it will improve as the season goes on. But it's not looking pretty, I've got to say. So in terms of goals scored, 3 for the season, Premier League rank is 18th. Expected goals, Premier League rank is 20th. Shot conversion, 6.5%, Premier League rank is 17th. Shots per game, 9, Premier League rank is 20th. Shots inside the box, this is all per game, 5, Premier League rank, 20th. Chances created per game, 6.4, Premier League rank, 20th.
I'm worried.
Are you?
No, not me, but you're asking Spurs fans. So if I'm a Spurs fan, I'm worried. Like,
I hope they start with winning games.
Because it's
it is
6 games. Do you know what I think on the Nuno point? I think it's his stubbornness is what's causing this.
Mm.
His reluctance to go back to a back three. That's the issue. Yeah.
That was his formula at Wolves.
Yeah.
And it worked. And it's essentially, you could say, is what landed him that Spurs job. You know, the way he took Wolves into Europe, a place they haven't been for, couldn't even tell you how long. So maybe there is that kind of, maybe perhaps, and Tanya's here now. Do you want to say hello?
Hey, guys.
No, you're on mute.
Oh, hey, she was on mute.
And Tanya, we're just chatting about, we've come to the end of this game, so don't worry.
Thank God.
But we're just chatting about, I just read out some worrying stats if you're a Spurs fan, in terms of where you are in the league in terms of like goals, chances created, shot conversion, chances created, just said that. And it's all essentially 17th to 20th in the league. And we kind of posed the question, when does Nuno sit back and think, let me revert to what I know works well for me and the team, which was the 3 back at Wolves, or 5 back, whichever way you want to look at it. Do you think he looks at that?
You say 3 back? Or you mean back 3?
Well, 3 back, 5
okay,
back.
Okay, cool, go.
I'm
drawing you out.
Yeah, don't ever do that again.
No, for me, I'm Nino out already. I'm not gonna lie.
Don't you think this is a little bit reactionary?
No, it's not.
Because 3 games in, you were like,
we are literally the hoes of London. We've lost 3. We've lost 3 London derbies. Conceded 9 goals. I'm sorry. The decisions he's made for me is like, it's criminal at this point. So for me, it does go beyond managers, of course, but the stats that you're talking about, I mean, you've probably read them out already.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
But it's not good enough, man. Like, that midfield was a complete and utter mess. When I see the stills, when I look at what Jamie Carragher was looking at, that's tactical. No one is telling me that them stats are representative of the quality of players that we have. I'm not saying we have the best players in the league, but this is a coaching issue for me. But as I say, there's loads of other stuff going on.
I think we can get a couple of questions in before we move on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Harry Kane, Tanya. What are we saying? Because I'm not questioning the quality of the player.
Wow.
No, Harry, he needs to be dropped immediately.
That's a big statement.
It's not a big statement. At the end of the day, he don't want to be here. And I not said this on the podcast? Mm-hmm. If no one wants to be at this club, for me, I don't care who you are, go. And I said, I will not be surprised if motivation levels drop. And we're seeing that. Like, for me, I just want youngsters to play. And people can say that's crazy at this point in the season. I just think, can it get any worse than this? Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Like who?
Dane Scholar.
Tanganga chefed up by Smith Rowe.
He was.
Yeah, Smith Rowe had a good game, but look, I'm not going to get on to Tanganga. The whole team was bad.
Skip looked good in the second half.
Gil and Skip. It's funny how he looked.
Funny his name is Skip. It matches his ability.
Nah, he's a good player, right? It's funny how he looked better when them two came on. Want
Gil's good. He's actually decent.
Why is Nuno not starting him?
So I think are you playing on Thursday in the. The bin league.
Tanya.
Serious question.
I'll give you £1,000 if you can name the team that you're playing on Thursday without looking. She can't.
Wait. Don't. Tanya.
Yes.
So, wait.
Coronavirus.
So, just go.
All right. Junior's currently having a seizure. Allegedly, I take that back.
Bruv, what's wrong with you? Cough one more time, innit?
So, Tanya, let me just go back to Kane for a second because I kind of asked the question, but I didn't.
Stop.
So, we're going back to Kane. Honestly, I love Kane. He's a quality player, but he's stinking it up this season. Like, he's actually stinking it up. And I know you're saying drop him, but does that do more good than bad? Like, are we at now? Like,
honestly,
are you just...
I could not care less. Like, that performance is probably the worst North London derby I've ever seen. Every single player on that pitch did absolutely awful, disgusting performance. Like, that's probably the worst performance I've seen.
Mm.
I can't pick out anyone.
I feel sorry for Højbjerg in the first half because we mentioned it before you got here. He was poor, but he was
pressing aimlessly. Man.
He was, no, but you got to think if you're...
He was left out to dry.
If you're playing in that central defensive midfield role,
mm-hmm.
you want... At least one of your two midfielders, right? We mentioned this earlier. You had Dele Alli, who essentially thought he was a right winger for the day, and you had Ndombele, who just didn't want to drop in and kind of help Højbjerg out. So there was a sense of him just being all alone in that midfield against Partey and Xhaka and Odegaard.
He was definitely hung out to dry.
I'm just sick of these players, full stop. I want youngsters in, simple as that. That's what I want to see.
My question before I had a fit was what... Who do you drop? I know you want Kane out, but realistically, for Hill to come in, Gil or whatever you want to call him, who comes out?
Smelly, obviously.
I think Dele...
No, but he plays as a winger.
He wouldn't play wings. Moura's playing the winger.
That's what I'm saying.
So to be honest, look, I agree with Mark. I think Nuno does need to stick to what he knows and what's worked for him in the past at Wolves. I think we need a change of formation. 4-3-3 doesn't work for us. I think we need to do 4-3-2-1 or try like... 5 at the back. Try something else.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see that with new personnel. I want to go to the youngsters. I honestly do, guys. I honestly do. I'm sick to death of the same old stuff. Like, at the end of the day, as much as I am blaming Nuno, a lot of these players are the same from last season. Mm-hmm. Davinson Sanchez, Dyer, Tanganga.
Can you play any of your new signs?
And Ndombele, Dele. Like, this is the same team. What's going on here?
I want Romero was on the bench, wasn't he, as well?
What? Yeah, what's that about?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Why did you put Romero
there,
on the bench?
There was there an element of, obviously, again, you know more about this than me, Tanya, in terms of what's happening at Spurs, but correct me if I'm wrong, not one of your summer signings started.
No.
None of them.
There's no trust in Romero, in
no
Hill,
Royal,
Emerson Royal, who did start a couple of games.
Yeah, he needs time, I think.
And Nuno obviously thought, you know what, I'll go with Tanganga for this game, that kind of defensive solidarity.
But also
didn't
someone who knows
necessarily
the
work out. Someone who knows the derby. Why aren't your signings playing football?
I honestly think that's one thing that Tottenham lacked, is more players who know about what it means
team.
To play.
And what
what I'm saying is like, where you've got like Smith Rowe and Saka, who are Haylen boys, they know Spurs, that game is important. I don't think anyone... Kane should be that guy.
Kane should be that guy. Tanganga should be that guy.
Someone in that Spurs dressing room should have said, look, guys, this is a North London derby. We can't go out like this.
Yeah, we've got no leaders in the team. We've got nothing at the minute. Nothing. It's a mess.
It does look stale.
It does.
Mm. You say you've got no leaders in the team. You've got the England captain in your team, and I said this from the day he was appointed. That guy, he was only appointed England captain because he can score goals.
Exactly. For me, he's not a leader. He's not a natural leader. He's not a Henderson.
He's more of a leader by example.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He's not he's like, more a, like a yeah.
So where was that example?
It's true.
But where was that example?
The
on
thing
Sunday?
Is, yeah, I think the issue is he's clearly he wanted to leave, isn't it? So he's kind of demotivated.
But do you know what? He's doing himself no favors because he's not going to get no move playing like that.
But so he's still getting move. I mean, he's still Harry Kane. And the thing is, this is just like. Part of it is obviously that miss as well, the one where he went clean through and put it past the post. That's Harry Kane would never miss that.
Yeah.
But I think something's not right.
You'd put your house on him scoring.
Exactly.
That.
But something's not right. Exactly. Clearly there's something. But the thing is.
And he looks like he's demotivated.
I wouldn't be surprised if he went and bagged the hat trick next week or something like that. Like he's still Harry Kane. He still scored goals. Mm-hmm. Like I even think to the point, like if he had a penalty, he probably would have missed. It's just something wasn't right. Like it's not right.
Nothing is right at this club. Nothing is right. I'm sick of it.
Let's move on to talking about Aiden.
Yeah, okay. We've spent a long, long time on this.
I never want to hear Højbjerg, Reguilón, and Ndombele in combined Arsenal Tottenham 11s again, yeah? These bums showed how dead they are.
One thing I will say is this. I think Arsenal played very well against a very poor Tottenham team. I will say that.
But we spoke about it earlier.
Let's speak.
It was a very poor Tottenham team, but I don't take anything away from Arsenal. I think Arteta, he made the right substitutions. The right team was out. Players turned up. Effort, pressing, but from an Arsenal perspective, you lot have to beat Brighton now. You've got the only way is up now. Mm-hmm. You have to win.
I mean, that was the case anyway.
Yeah,
no, I said last week that the only thing that matters doesn't matter about like who beats who. It's about who finishes in that top six.
But you must be feeling a little bit different because I did say to you, it doesn't matter if we win. Like, I'm still going to be...
Last season, we beat Chelsea
but
twice.
That performance was something... Like, if I was an Arsenal fan, I'd be looking at that and thinking,
but
okay.
Last season, we beat Chelsea twice and...
No, but come on, it's a different team. Eighth. You've got a different backline. You've got Ramsdale, who you need to apologise to him publicly.
No, we've already done that. But
trust me.
Tomiyasu, who looks... You know what? He looks good, unfortunately.
No, but my
this is the problem with you coming late because we addressed all this.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. my point, just before we move on, my point is that it's irrelevant... If we get 3 points and then we go lose to Brighton.
Yeah. Mm. I don't think
it's not irrelevant because imagine if you lost and then lost to Brighton.
But what I mean is like where we finish at the end of the season is more important.
Well, it's a perfect test for you, isn't it? That's the perfect game to play.
Yeah, and Brighton are in form at the moment. Right, let me end this quick segment with... I'm sorry, Tanya, I've got to do this because I see this earlier. So I screenshotted it because I wanted to make sure I said it, but...
I hope you lot gave an honest analysis.
We did.
I can't even. Oh yeah, there might have been a certain clip played,
we were analysing you
in
you
your absence.
In your mouth.
you were here, just you weren't.
Oh really? Did you play my
Someone did. I don't know why you're looking at me.
Let Mark talk, bro.
Let me just finish this stuff. Right, we're 32 minutes in and we're still on the spotlight game. But this is it. So Tottenham Hotspur have become the first. I don't know if ever this is banter or not, by the way. But someone tweeted it. Tottenham Hotspur have become the first team in world football to be top of the league and then overtaken by the team bottom of the league within 3 games.
Yeah. That is proper Tottenham
Hotspur.
That's Spursy.
It's only the second team to ever do that in Premier League history. The last one was Everton and they finished 17th that season.
Well, he just said first team ever in world football to do it.
No, he's talking about being overtaken by.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the first team to win the first 3 games and then lose the next three.
Nuno out. Moving on.
I don't think Tottenham will finish 17th, so don't worry. Next game, it was an exciting Premier League weekend. Next game was big clash at the top, Chelsea versus Man City. First big test for Man City. Mm-hmm. One of the title challengers. Second big test for Chelsea. Tuchel versus Pep again.
Mm. Can I just quickly say, right? I said this in the chat. Tuchel, for the way he's set up against City, is a terrorist. I don't care. And I say this every week about Chelsea's defence. First, let me just make this clear.
Just
Chelsea
Tuchel and Bruno
are
pointing at each other like Spider-Man.
Yeah, the Spider-Man. Chelsea are a quality team. And if you ask me who were the favourites to win the league, I'd say Chelsea, right? Let me get that out of the way. But... The way they set up for me is not the way a top team in England should be setting up and approaching that type of game, right? You've got five defenders at the back and three DMs.
And then two forwards.
And then two forwards. Eight defensive-minded players. Kovacic, you can get away with saying maybe he pushed a little bit further forward. But the fact of the matter is that he set up 5-3-2 with three, kind of, you know, Kante, Jorginho and Kovacic in the middle.
Three midfielders in a line.
In a line. And to me, and I say this quite often in terms of Chelsea defenders are quality, but they get more protection than any defender who plays for a different team in the league. That's why I always say, that's why when you were putting Rudiger into top fives in the league and stuff, that's why I kind of have to say he's so much more protected in terms of...
But you put Maguire in it, and we'll talk about him in a minute.
But I think on that point, Mark, I think they were exposed at the weekend with... In that formation, they had nothing to get them out of trouble. Lukaku was completely isolated; they couldn't get to him.
Well, that I think to me, so rude, they need to rely on.
He has another strike partner. He's isolated.
No. But what I mean, what I'm talking about is that they couldn't get out. Chelsea, Man City were pressing so hard; they were winning the ball so high up. Number two, how many touches did Lukaku get? In the whole game,
I think he had 20 touches the whole game, two in the first half.
And that's what I'm saying. By isolated, I mean he's out of the game essentially. If that's not isolated, then
it just shocked me with Tuchel because the last three times he's played Pep, including the biggest game in club football, he's beat them. So he's obviously
and they had most of the chances that game as well.
100%. And I just thought it to me, again personally, that it just showed a little bit of. Something that we haven't seen from Tuchel yet. And what I took from that is that he was a little bit afraid of Man City.
Yeah.
But
definitely.
Why? That's the thing. That's the question I'm asking.
Honestly,
to me,
he knew that Pep would actually go for it this time because he knows Pep would have studied Tuchel's tactics.
Doesn't
that
Pep
whole
always
weekend.
Go for it?
No, he does. You're right. He does. But I don't know. Maybe he thought he would go for it.
Honestly, it was a 1-0 battering. I genuinely believe that's the highest quality pressing game I've ever seen. There was traps
through 90 minutes.
They had the triggers. The triggers were Jesus and Grealish. It was Jesus and Grealish. You go and the thing is as well, like it was such a centralized game, and it's a risk as well. Firstly, you play with no striker against a team with three centre backs. That's a risk. But also, they did such an aggressive pressing game in which Grealish, Jesus, Foden, De Bruyne,
Foden
Bernardo. All and Rodri all pressing, and then you got the two fullbacks playing narrow with Walker and Cancelo. Then if Chelsea beat that, then Alonso was free a lot, or you switch it out,
but
and then you've got
the
two forwards. They couldn't do that, so it's a risk. That's why I rate Guardiola for the way he approaches the game. It was a big risk, and it paid off. On top of that, how many of their players had like 10 out of 10 games? Rodri, Bernardo, Cancelo, Grealish, Jesus as well. Did you see Did you see Jesus' interview on Match of the Day?
Yeah, I did.
He said, I'm not going to do the Portuguese accent, but he said, Brazilian accent. But he goes, when I was young, I was a winger. And then I played as a striker. It's good for me because I play as a winger and then as a striker. I was like, what did I learn from that?
But you learned that he used to play as a winger.
But he was very good as well. And his goal, the way he created the separation and finished it, obviously he was lucky with the deflection as well. But it wasn't lucky
you
in terms of...
You made your own luck.
It wasn't lucky because Man City should have scored as well. And then after that, the game opened up a little bit more and Chelsea needed to come out a bit more. Grealish. I think Chelsea was saved by the fact that they have a world-class goalkeeper. Like, he is outstanding. Yeah. The way Grealish, you know, when Grealish cut in and had that shot to the far post,
that would have been such a beautiful goal.
Beautiful, amazing save as well. And then Grealish had that chance towards the end as well, where he could have put it bottom corner. But I felt like
in the highlights package, I don't know if you watched Match of the Day, but
they
showed like up until 90 minutes, they were still pressing with four or five players.
Definitely
in the corner, and they're already 1-0 up. That's how they got that. Was it Grealish chance?
Where Foden paid him in.
Yeah.
I was going to say credit as well to Bernardo Silva. I mean, I don't particularly like him, but to
he's
me,
an amazing player.
That is how we spoke about how Harry Kane reacted to not getting a move in the summer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was linked really strongly, talking about Bernardo here, linked very strongly with Atletico Madrid. And it looked like he was leaving in the summer numerous
times.
Pep even said it. And to me, that's how you react to not getting your move. I know it's slightly easier when you're... The club you've got to stay at is still competing for every trophy that they're entering. But that is how you react to having to stay and kind of stay with them for a season. He, to me, he was arguably the best player on the pitch, mm-hmm. and he's been really important for them in these past few weeks, Bernardo. So it's actually, for them, quite lucky that he did end up staying, because got a top player in Bernardo.
So I have a question. So we've seen the second, big clash of the season. We saw Chelsea versus Liverpool. Now we've seen Man City versus Chelsea. Is this a big blow for Chelsea in their title hopes, losing at home to Man City?
Too early.
So then my next question is,
because
when you look at who they've already played, they have already played Liverpool. I know it's only once, but still, they've already played Liverpool. They got a draw with one man down. They've played City. Now obviously they've lost. They've played Arsenal, beat them comfortably. I know Tottenham probably doesn't count. I think Man United would be an interesting one.
Yeah. Well, my next question is, on the flip side, is Man City, who tonight play PSG and at the weekend play Liverpool.
Big week.
So it's a massive week. It's a massive week. So if they come out, sorry, Mark, let's just hypothetically, if they come out with 9 points from this, including the Champions League 3 points that they'll get tonight, but that doesn't count in the league. But if they come out with 3 victories... is it ominous? Is it like
Mark said, it's amazing.
No, I'm not saying it's wrapped up.
It'd be amazing at this point if they come out with 3 wins this whole week. Yeah, but still, it's way too early.
No,
even
I know
in
it's
the Champions League, it's too early as well. Like, even if they lose both these games, it'll be a blow. But still, they've still got a bit. Like we saw last season, like up until December, they were ninth or something, and then obviously they slapped everyone.
Yeah, you got. I think you know a bit more come Christmas. You know when you're playing two games in 3 days, squads getting tight. You're dropping points to teams you wouldn't usually drop points to.
Yeah.
I think you can never really call things like this. And like you said with Arsenal, it's more so about that. It's a massive win for City. Let's get that out there straight away. But it's more so about the. They could lose to us on the weekend, you know, draw the next game, and then it's less so about the win against Chelsea and more so about they've just picked up 1 point in six. Yeah. Football can just really change quickly.
I don't think any of the four teams can afford to keep dropping points.
Yeah, well, United to me are the only ones who look like they will drop points more regularly than the.
We'll talk about them in a second. Three. Yeah. We can talk about that now.
No, I just wanted to preview. Although Man City did beat PSG and Liverpool away last season, I can still see them coming out with maybe a point against PSG. But Liverpool, Anfield, what time is it? Is it like an evening kickoff?
It's Sunday 4:30.
Well, yeah. Sunday 4:30, they've been drinking all day. Anfield, that crowd, and when they start singing and the flags, it's hell, man. Honestly, it's long. And then, like, your first touch is bad, the crowd are on you, and then you have a terrible game. It's hell. Like, the worst time to play Liverpool is 12:30 on a Saturday. Well, basically when the Sky cameras are on,
That's the best time to play Liverpool.
No. 3 o'clock is the best time. 3 o'clock when there's...
I think it's when the sun's going down and the Anfield lights come on.
Correct.
Champions League nights, Liverpool is hell. Like, everyone gets slapped, innit? Who's it got slapped a couple of years ago? Barcelona, innit?
Yeah.
Bro, Barcelona 3-0 up with Messi in the team.
I think there's a list of teams that you can say
exactly. Everyone gets slapped.
It's going to be a hell of a game.
It will be a very, very good game. And again, it won't tell us much in terms of who's going to finish where, but it will tell us a lot about where each team is in this particular moment.
Yeah. I think Liverpool, if you beat City, I'll be looking seriously at Liverpool. Yeah. Not that I'm not.
Yeah,
ready,
I mean, we'll see what happens. I'm not going to look past Porto tonight. And we've got a few, like, so Trent's out tonight, unfortunately. We're not sure if he's going to make it for Sunday. Thiago's out until after the international break.
So who comes in for Trent?
Naby Keita's back tonight with the squad, which is good. I think he might play James Milner at right back tonight.
Oh, okay.
He did a really good job against Zaha and Palace the other week. Funny feeling. I've got a feeling there's a chance we could see Ox at right back at some point this season as well.
Hilarious.
Because like I've said it, I've been screaming it, we don't really have that right back depth, and if Trent does pick up an injury,
wing back for Arsenal.
He's the type of player who can fit into that position, and I wouldn't have the same quality as Trent, but
I do have some stuff to say about Ox anyway.
Have stuff to say about Ox every week.
That's also true. But Man United versus Villa.
This game couldn't have gone better for me.
This game?
For you personally.
What's happening? For me personally.
You have a bet on.
No. It just couldn't have gone. Firstly, you got Maguire, disaster class.
Oh, God, he was terrible.
You know, he came off injured after that 60 minutes and it was 0-0.
Are you all right, bro? Ronaldo barely touches the ball. what's his name? McTominay stinks it up again, and everyone now sees how what I saw 2 years ago. And then the terrorist decided to send the ball back to Syria. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And Emi Martinez as well. Did you see him?
Emi Martinez.
Emi Martinez going, Ronaldo, you take it, bro. Yeah. Why are you letting this mug take
he
it?
He was saying, he said to Ronaldo, you better take it. Bruno's going
to
miss.
What's yeah. he do? Why does he want Ronaldo to take it?
They no, it's more mind games. It's
mind games.
Oh, because then Bruno kind of sits there and thinks,
no, I'm taking it. I'm definitely
taking this, but I definitely can't miss now.
That's why he didn't even do his hop, skip, jump thing. He just went and blasted the ball.
That's probably the worst.
I've seen a picture, yeah. Someone took a video in the crowd from behind the goal and... This didn't just kind of miss the goal.
Yeah.
Like this is, you know, at the top of the stand where it says like, I don't know what stand it was in, like Stretford End or something. You know, at the very top.
Upper tier.
And that, like it's hitting the roof.
But just so you know, every single commentator.
This one.
That's the exact one.
Just
the ball.
Just to emphasize that point, every single commentator, so from like every highlight thing that I've seen, every commentator said the ball's still rising.
Yeah.
The Sky Sports one said it, and the one on BBC Sports said, Match of the Day. The ball's still rising.
Why did he take it? What a mug. How can you have Ronaldo and still say, I'm taking pens?
No, because, I mean, there's got to be an element of you thinking to yourself, I can't just roll over just because this is Ronaldo.
But he's Ronaldo.
It's
his job, man.
If Ronaldo walks up to you and says, give me your food, what are you saying? Go on, man.
Firstly, why would Ronaldo want my food?
In the last 22 penalties, Bruno's only missed one.
Yeah, but still, it's the last minute, though, and it's Ronaldo.
But also, Bruno has a better ratio of penalties than Ronaldo.
He does.
It's the last minute. This guy, Ronaldo. I'm pointing at him as if he's there, but Ronaldo.
You're saying, buddy.
Hey, we got Ronaldo here, right?
Ronaldo. That's what he does. In the big moments, he'll step up and he'll get you the point.
Bruno, like Junior's just said, though, it's what Bruno does as well in terms of penalties.
Bruno's a pussy anyway, man. Ronaldo came to the club, he probably was kissing his feet anyway, bro.
Didn't Bruno score a penalty in like the last minute against Brighton?
It's true, but you know, Ronaldo went there. It's Ronaldo. Ronaldo has to take the penalty, bro.
I think you're just... You know,
Bro, if he keeps missing last minute penalties, I'm gonna overdose. I'm gonna overdose it.
Anyway,
next week if he misses a last minute penalty, I'm back here. I'm just coming here a couple days early.
Just gonna sit in this chair.
I'm waiting until the podcast. Yeah,
I know Abdi has a lot of agendas to run, but let's talk about Villa because they did win this game.
My team, my new team.
Oh my god.
Come on.
Tanya's voice. What a header, by the way.
What a header. She gave away a penalty right after the waste, man.
Do you see that thing that...
I've just been through this, have you? They missed the penalty. It's fine, no worry.
Do you see the thing where... Because Villa have a new set pieces coach. And what... Is it Jose or how...
Hawes. Courtney Hawes, I think.
Hawes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mings went up to him just before that and said, go on, do my role. And
so Mings usually does that and it goes near post. he was... I think it was because Tuan Zabe couldn't play anyway because Tuan Zabe is on loan for Man United, so that's why he came into the team. I do want to say one thing about the two strikers. They are playing three at the back nowadays. I'm not 100%. I don't like it because I think they should be playing Bailey and
Villa.
They're playing three at the back, but they're accommodating the fact that Ings and Watkins. He doesn't want to completely discard of Watkins because he was good for him last season. But they're not gelling. I'm watching because I was trying to watch both games, but. Because for some reason they put him on at the same time, which is stupid.
I know what happened. There was a gig on at three or around that time, and they couldn't have.
I was going to say, because I don't think I've lived to see. Yeah.
First time that's ever happened. Yeah. First time it's happened since 2009.
It got moved up.
Well, since 2009, there was it happened once before. But just on the strikers, Danny Ings is a really, really unselfish striker. Unfortunately, Ollie Watkins is not. There were plenty of times. You know when Ollie Watkins, I think it was. Maguire played a loose ball and then Ollie Watkins got through and then he had that shot that De Gea saved. Ings was completely free. There's so many times Ings is playing Watkins in. I watched their game against Villa, Everton last week, and Ings is so unselfish and he got two assists in that game. Whereas Watkins, he's not.
He's not the finisher that Ings is, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, for that chance that you're talking about, I think he should have squared it to Ings.
Yeah, but I do think, like, on the whole, Villa now. It looks like they've got a little bit more depth now. On the bench, they've got El Ghazi, Traore, Bailey, Buendia. A lot of good options on the bench.
Does it surprise you lot then that, you know, the formation that got Villa to kind of, obviously not the couple of seasons ago when they just just escaped relegation by the skin of their teeth. But last season, you know, they were good, solid Premier League team playing four at the back.
Yeah.
And they've strengthened over the summer, specifically from what I can see in the attacking areas, yeah, other than Tuanzebe, who they brought in on loan, but switched to five at the back. And it means then that those reinforcements that you've brought in, yeah, aren't getting game time.
Do you think this is temporary?
I think that's kind of my question. What are we thinking? Because I'm thinking about who's injured for them to not be to be accommodating.
I think
that
like
way.
I don't like, know. I don't know if like because we did have Copa America, Olympics, and the Euros. I don't know if they were trying to give, because Douglas Luiz, he only started
last three games or something.
He didn't start the first.
It does to, like, obviously it has its pros. It gets a lot out of Matty Cash and Matt Target.
I love Matty Cash. He's like Jack Grealish.
My Polish brother. Have you seen Matty Cash?
Yeah. Is he Polish?
And he's yeah, just registered for the Polish national team.
No way.
Through a great grandparent or a grandparent.
You're joking.
I guarantee Skip will do that soon.
Why are you getting onto Skip, man?
Oh no, Skip would be like, oh no, I once went to an Albanian restaurant. I'm Albanian.
So what are we saying then for United? Because I just want to have a quick look.
Douglas Luiz would be perfect in that Man United team.
Oh, I just love Villa.
I don't think there's a balance in Man United's team.
I don't know why. Ooh. They keep playing this McFred thing.
Bro, Oli. It's Oli, guys.
No, I honestly think there's not enough of a balance in Man United's team. And the two DMs that are there are relatively weak.
How can you have Paul Pogba on the left wing when you've got Sancho on the bench? You could play. Is Martial still available? Yeah. Well, to be fair, I'd rather play Pogba in front of him.
But
anyway,
is that still an excuse?
No, but what
for the performances that we're seeing?
Do you remember when you guys were purring about Man United's transfer window? I said, yeah, it's good, but the icing on the cake would have been a DM.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
of
but
course.
I think that
should have been more of a priority than anything they signed.
No, I think they definitely needed Sancho.
Wouldn't say that. But the lack of DM is what's causing them to lose these games.
No,
I think it's the mismanagement in Oli. If you don't have a DM here, you need someone who can help get the ball into your front players from deeper. Mm-hmm. Why are you playing Pogba left wing? It doesn't make sense. Yeah. Get Pogba on the ball so he can play it into the likes of Ronaldo and Bruno.
I get that,
Sancho,
but like, then you're still going to have one of McFred in there.
But McFred, I think Man United have finished second, third with McFred and all that stuff. Okay.
But let's be honest, they didn't light either of those seasons up.
That's true.
Do any of you listen to Sky Sports on their YouTube page release every Sunday night? I think it is a Gary Neville podcast with Martin Tyler.
I saw that, yeah.
And he is now really starting to come out and question Ole, and it's the first time I've seen him in particular kind of do that. And he made some really valid points in the sense that you watch Liverpool, you watch City, you watch Chelsea. The teams that United want to be competing with this season, you notice kind of patterns of play and you notice certain characteristics of that team, the other managers. And he's essentially said that you don't get any of that with Ole and United.
It's true. I completely agree.
Chinese is watching highlights in this, I'm telling you, don't worry about it.
My bad.
No, I completely agree with you, Mark, and completely agree with what Gary Neville said. I think, like, he is very dependent on the stars that he has in the team. Like, we've said that before, previously, and even more so now, that I think that it's going to grow the amount of dependence that he has on Cristiano Ronaldo. Because, obviously, Cristiano Ronaldo is your game winner, is a match winner on any given day. But I think the dependence on him is going to be... Even if he's having a bad game, he's just going to leave him out there.
Yeah, I did say this as well at the start of the season when United signed Ronaldo. I said this isn't Ronaldo. It is Ronaldo, but it's Ronaldo.
It's not Ronaldo.
You know what I mean when I say that.
Yeah. Real Madrid Ronaldo.
So there's a case of, you know, how much of their natural game are they going to have to kind of limit to kind of not fit Ronaldo into that team, because he's obviously probably the first name on that team sheet, but in terms of kind of, there are certain things that his body probably can't do now that it once could. You've seen the goals that he's been getting. They're
poacher
type goals, and that's what I said, that's the type of Ronaldo that we'd see. Is there a case to say maybe he needs someone up there with him? And I'm not talking Bruno in a 10, I'm talking Rashford when he's fit. I'm talking...
So moving 4-4-2 moments.
I don't know. I just think something at United needs to change, where they need to be a bit more.
I would definitely keep him up front.
I would 100% keep him up front. I'm forgetting tell him, Cavani as well.
Tell him, I would say, be in the width of the post.
Yeah,
that's
he stay he in the box. Get involved in the
don't
game
get involved
much,
in build up. What's going on?
No, I just wanted to ask a question, but continue.
Okay, cool. But then when Rashford comes back, I'd have Greenwood and Rashford on the wings. And then I'd have.
So Sancho, not at all?
Well, Sancho's got to get. Firstly,
this ain't the Bundesliga. Sancho,
this ain't the Bundesliga, innit, bro? You need to realise that. You haven't got 65 centimetres of space.
No, I don't think he's a flop.
It's too early to
But why is he not getting into. Right, what I wanted to ask is, so I'm just looking at Man United's fixture. So they've got Villarreal, then they've got Everton, then they've got Leicester, then they've got Atalanta, then they've got Liverpool.
And then Tottenham.
And then, and then Spurs.
None of those are easy games, isn't
it? If Ole doesn't get through that, that is a tough run of games. Do we honestly think that they will sack him?
They've lost 5 of their last 11. When's the last time they lost back-to-back at Old Trafford? They lost in midweek to West Ham. They lost again. And with all that firepower, you shouldn't be losing these games.
I think he can get the sack. Surely
they lost 3 of the last 4.
They've seemed to be hesitant to sack him.
Yeah, exactly. I think, with all these fixtures, if there's a bad run of results, I don't think he stays.
I don't think he does.
Did I say this? Like, I can't remember when I said it. I just feel like United want to get back to that kind of, we're United, we don't sack managers. We have them, like, they come in and they do 5-10 years with us. And I think they want that with Ole.
They're desperate.
But,
I think if they had any sense, they would sack him if these results.
Well, there are ways to do it. You can be a Chelsea and literally just sack if you don't think it's working. Sack, and we disagree with that a lot. So do you know what I mean? We come out and say like Chelsea don't kind of give their managers time. Other than Lampard, kind of see. There wasn't much there, but that's the kind of vibe I get with Ole.
You can say it's not wrong. It is wrong, but Ole has been given a lot of tools to succeed.
100%.
You know, similar to any other Chelsea manager.
I was talking more about the Chelsea thing. I'm not talking about Ole being sacked.
No, I mean, just even with Chelsea thing as well. Like,
he's had enough.
Everyone's
now.
Given enough rope to succeed as a Chelsea manager.
Yeah, and Ole's had enough now to. I mean, if they don't win anything this season, which
I don't think
I don't
very
know,
unlikely.
The League Cup, which was one of their better chances to win something.
The FA Cup.
You know, they didn't start the Champions League very well with the loss.
And Villarreal, that is going to be tough for them. And I think
I think they'll beat Villarreal. Villarreal, I don't know.
I mean, we said that about Young Boys,
though. Yeah, exactly.
We said that in the Europa League final.
They did go down 10 men, though. So. I think even with Man United overall this season, I think they've only played well in 2 games. Now, Leeds in the opening day and Newcastle. Mm. Very lucky against Wolves. Super lucky against West Ham, even though they probably should have some penalties as well. But still, like, just generally, I don't think with the amount of tools you have the most stacked attack in the Premier League, guaranteed.
Yeah, no, Ole has to go.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a good thing you mentioned all of those games they've got coming up because we'll see now. If he comes through it,
they've got Liverpool, then they've got Spurs, that's probably a win. Atalanta, then they've got City after that. That's mad.
Compared to the starts that some teams had in the league, they had it pretty easy. They had it, in fact, Chelsea. Pretty easy. They had it really easy in terms of league games, teams that they faced. Champions League group, probably the easiest there is.
It's a Europa League group, isn't it?
Yeah, it literally is a Europa League group.
Okay, we spent a lot of time on United. Let's move on to Everton. Because we still have a lot to get through. So Everton versus Norwich. Don't want to spend too much time on this, but Norwich.
16 Premier League defeats from the bounce.
Can I just say what...
can someone get a word in more like...
Can I just say what Falca said after the game? He goes, we are 3 points off our plan.
Yeah.
So if you are 3 points off your plan with 6 defeats,
I think he means in terms of being out of the relegation. Because I think a lot of teams down the bottom there have only got 2 points.
I think honestly that he only planned to beat Watford.
But then look, what do we expect from Norwich though? Let's be honest. What
better than this?
Really?
Yes.
See, I don't know. When you look at everyone else in the league.
No, but come on, promoted teams usually have a little bounce. They go at teams. There's a bit of excitement. Their fans are up for it. It just looks like Norwich. They
I think
just
what he
to
meant,
be invited.
I think what he meant
maybe
is
they are.
Newcastle are just outside the relegation zone with 3 points. So he means if they won, they'd be outside the relegation zone.
Yeah, but realistically, okay, 3 points. Just Watford then.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, just generally that game, I watched the highlights on Match of the Day, and I felt Norwich, they're just not good enough. No. From the positive side for Everton is a lot of the players who we all don't think are that good, like Iwobi, Townsend, no one really was saying anything before this season.
Even Doucouré, who I don't actually
but
think.
But the ones that start for me every time is Doucouré and Gray. Those two, like Gray, he got a good assist again for Doucouré's goal. Just generally, I feel like, and Doucouré, obviously, they highlighted him on Match of the Day, but he's been, there was elements of when he was running with the ball, he was looking a bit like Yaya Touré. And I was like, obviously, he's not
just chill out a little bit.
Yeah, he's obviously elements. Better than Wijnaldum and all that rubbish. but Everton, good for them.
Benitez, did Calvert-Lewin score?
He's injured, man. He's said that three podcasts ago, and I can't believe I allowed it.
Listen,
he was injured.
It was the one that I missed. I was going to pick this up when I was back. It was the one that I missed. I listened to it.
Oh, well, Calvert-Lewin didn't score. And I said, oh, yeah, well, it's just one game. But when I thought about it, I was like, he was injured. He didn't play.
Every time you've said this, he hasn't even stepped foot on the pitch.
We'll see it.
It's been, what's Rafa Benitez's favourite guy?
Rondon's
been playing.
Yeah, Richarlison's injured as well, isn't it?
Rondon needs to chill and pull up his socks, man. Only certain players can pull that off.
Smith Rowe and
you've got to have a little.
Get not top four, obviously. Before, do you think they'll get like top eight?
I think they'll fade away a little bit. Against Norwich, they conceded some chances that you can't be conceding against other teams in the league.
They were shocking the week before as well. I can't remember who they.
Villa.
Villa,
yeah.
Mark's boy has been stinking out for a bit. Dinier. Dinier's been stinking out for a bit. Should have got set off in this game.
Right, let's move on. Leeds versus West Ham.
This turned out to be like quite an entertaining game, you know?
Rafinha.
Any game involving Leeds, I'm telling you right now, is going to have something about it.
But they're not picking up points, though.
They're not, but they know how to entertain.
They do. Rafinha is a baller, bro. I
really like Bielsa, and I love the way they came into the Premier League last season, just going at teams. But it's completely suicidal to go 1v1 all over the pitch.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, what happens when, do you think no one passes? Everyone just runs. What happens when a pass is played and half of your team is in the other side of the pitch? It's like, it doesn't make sense.
But that's what happened. Did you see for the equaliser, Junior Firpo came from left back.
Yeah, all the way into right back.
It was awful, man.
And then Antonio in that game, he was pulling out to the right. And they have this Shackleton guy, because Ayling missed his first game for Leeds in the Premier League. And then this Shackleton guy, he looks smaller than Tanya. So it was a completely mismatch. You've got the most athletic striker.
And he's strong.
He's strong, bullying this little kid.
Yeah. Literally bullying. He was shoving him. He was just shoving him about.
Yeah. But Antonio is turning into a proper forward. There were points.
That finish.
We all know Antonio, he's a guy, he's strong and he's quick and you know he's going to run you. He's 31 as well. He's not slowing down. But what he was doing in this game, what I liked about it is that he played a ball in behind to four now.
He was a bit all over the place in the first half.
No, I thought this was one of his better performances.
Even David Moyes said
that's why I was confused. David Moyes was saying to him David Moyes was saying, they asked him, what was it? They said, if you want anyone to have a chance in the last minute.
Yeah, who would you want?
And then David Moyes said, well, not on the basis of this game.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, Antonio's, in the highlights, he looked really good. He was playing balls over the top.
I saw some things that he was he just had an up and down game. He had good moments and he had bad moments. But
yeah, I guess so. But Leeds right now, I think if they're not, obviously Bamford was injured, Ayling was injured. But the way they're playing right now,
they don't look like they've gelled at all.
I'm not going to lie. From a selfish point of view, I kind of want them to finish as low as possible because I want Calvin Phillips and I want some of their players.
Yeah,
I can't
exactly,
lie to
yeah.
you. Okay. From a selfish point of view.
Okay, that made more sense than your Sheffield.
Just say you want your team to sign Calvin Phillips.
Oh, I would be so happy, honestly.
Teams don't need to get relegated for you to sign them.
Yeah.
Calvin, players from there.
Immediately, for if Spurs, I look at that team, Calvin Phillips and Rafinha are definitely happy.
Oh, Rafinha, I want him.
What a finish, man. That's three goals this season.
I love those kind of players, you know, those ones who can stand a man up, go past them, cut in.
And do you see, minutes after his goal, he hit the post. Yeah.
Did anyone see Michael Owen try to pretend like he had some mad football knowledge and he was speaking about, how do you pronounce the keeper's name?
Is it
the S is silent. And he was saying, I noticed him when he was at Leeds Academy when he was 16. and then, Donny basically said, no, they actually signed him when he was 19.
No, he's like, what? Leeds Academy?
Why would you Why are you lying? You just, I just know for a fact you just don't sit there and watch Leeds Academy games. And B,
Michael Owen just hangs out. There
is
no
boo-booing, please. Is there a boo button?
I'm not going to click it because I'll get it
wrong. The wrong one.
This one's Michael Owen. But Michael Owen just sits at the horse track. Like, how would he know about anything football related?
Melier, if someone told me he's in year 9, I'd believe it.
I know, he's so little, isn't
and he's got like a perfectly square head. Like, he's actually a
right, right, okay, okay. We're digressing.
The first sentence, I was chuckling a bit. There, man, he's got a perfectly square head. Yeah, man. Where
it's
does
like
that
a
even come
boy,
from?
Didn't it?
Is that what you look for?
Cuboid. Yeah.
Okay, let's back on track. Leicester versus Burnley. Vardy scored somewhat of a hat trick.
Are you ready to apologise now, have you?
On who?
For your Vardy's. Your Vardy's doubt.
That's exactly what. That's what I was waiting to say to him.
I'm going
to
need it a public one as well.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was waiting to say to him. Don't join in.
I'm going to need it with chest as
this
well.
This guy sitting opposite me, yeah, was the one who was saying Vardy's finished, yeah. Oh. Vardy needs to be sent to retirement home.
When did I?
You said Vardy's finished. He's like, basically, you were saying Brewster's bell.
Oh my God.
What are you talking about, man?
But Vardy, since then, what, 5 goals? Top scorer in the Premier League.
Yeah.
He scored a hat trick the weekend, you know, bro. He's back.
He did actually score a hat trick. Let's get that right. He did score an own goal.
You got to claim it. You got to claim it. You get how you live it.
What did you call him? V9 or something?
JV9.
JV9.
So, what do you make of like Maddison though, like being on the bench? Madison's,
I think it's interesting.
Been stinky
this
season.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's
the Arsenal move. You wanted the Arsenal move, innit?
I don't know.
It's good like Kane, innit?
I was going to say is like Leicester. They're a bit.
They've been stinky this
season. Yeah, they're a bit.
I'm very surprised at Leicester. Considering the signings they made, I thought, wow, Leicester, they've proper.
They can't get the defence right.
Strengthened, yeah.
Soyuncu and Vestergaard.
Yeah, Soyuncu, oh my God.
I say
God.
It week in, week out.
He's like.
But Vestergaard, okay, because he came from Santander. But Soyuncu,
I dislike Vestergaard more.
No, that's fine. But what I'm saying is the fall from grace from Soyuncu, like everyone was bigging this guy up now he looks absolutely, he looks a shadow.
He looks crazy. Like, yeah, he actually looks crazy when he's playing.
Some of the decision making, it just doesn't make sense.
Maybe he's going through something, man. You don't know.
Yeah, we never know. Also, we genuinely don't know.
Is it Corne?
I don't know. I don't know what he thinks he signed up for, bro. That guy was living in Lyon and now he lives in Burnley, well, Greater Manchester area in Burnley. And then he must, like,
what
this guy
goal.
Used to be training. This guy used to be training with Depay, Awa, all of these quality players in Lyon. And now he's back. He said, "Oh, okay, cool. Well, Westwood and Brownhill and all this nonsense." Scored a goal and then he went off injured. That was a quality goal as well.
It
like
was a
saying.
Great goal. What a great finish!
But Burnley, man, needs to get relegated.
But he is something like. I think Burnley have missed that type of player.
Well, Burnley miss it throughout the whole team.
Yeah.
No, but do you know what I mean? It's just a spark. I've never seen a Burnley player play like him.
I think that's rude to McNeil.
Okay, my bad. Okay, but do you know what I mean? He's a bit of a spark.
Mark pointed at you like a teacher.
I'm pretty certain he's the only non-English player in that team as well.
Oh, you got Goodmanson as well. If he's from Iceland.
True.
Well, what you mean is starting, non-white player.
No, I didn't mean that, but because you got, again, don't disrespect my boy McNeil like that ever.
Oh,
again.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, McNeil's got some black in him, isn't he? That's why he's good.
Are you McNeil watch or what? Like,
yeah, is that your boy, Mark? Swear.
I like McNeil. Honestly, I think McNeil's a quality.
I do too.
I would
too.
Have him at Spurs as well. He's top quality.
A lot of people put
I think Sean Dyche, when he signs a player, he's like, all right, can he head it? No. Can he cross it? No. I don't want him.
But what would you guys make of Leicester? Like, I don't know.
Like I said, when you look at the signings they made, I actually think they've strengthened their squad.
Of course they've strengthened. It looks like to me, Brendan Rodgers is kind of splitting his teams up. He's playing Iheanacho and Daka in the Europa League.
Yeah.
And Vardy in the Prem. And I actually want to see Vardy with just a little bit more support / flair around him. I know Harvey Barnes gives him that usually, but he hasn't been great this season.
He played.
Madison's not really getting the minutes that he usually does. Perez is just literally blows hot and cold all the time.
But he played Lookman in this game.
Lookman, forget he's even there. Like what? Yeah. What does Iheanacho? You got to remember who scored. What did he? He ended the season with 17 and 18 or something. To me, that doesn't warrant being dropped.
No.
So I would like to see more of Iheanacho. He got 15 or so minutes.
Didn't he play
Burnley.
The ball for Vardy's second goal? I think.
Yeah, he come on and he got 15 minutes. But I, if I'm Leicester, I want to see him on the pitch with Vardy or...
The formation at the end of the season that they were playing, I think it was working really well. I don't know why he's reverted.
Like straight back to 4-2-3-1, it looks like, in terms of... or 4-3-3, however you want to look at it.
I think the biggest issue, though, is they conceded a lot of goals.
They are.
So I think we should... They were unlucky, very unlucky against Brighton last week. Like, they had two legitimate goals this lap for no reason. And then, but I think... They're missing Fofana and Evans. That's the main thing. Like,
that is their two big misses.
Yeah, but
Evans particularly, because those two are just crazy. Leader, like, yeah. I'm so baffled watching Vestergaard and people thinking he's actually good. This guy is he's slow and he's clumsy and he's just like, I don't get where he got, why they signed him. He wasn't even good at Southampton for me. But I think just generally, Leicester as well. Like, I think Mark, you watched the Napoli game as well, innit? They were like. It was 2-2 and they were 2-0 up and it was like going well for them. But if anyone watched that game, you would know they probably could have lost about 10-2 because Napoli were missing left, right and centre. If you saw Osimhen, who's been mad this season for Napoli, but he embarrassed both of those centre-backs. First half, second half, he was just running them ragged. And they could have very easily lost many more games this season as well. Yeah. They won a couple games, but it's not looking good for them. And I feel... they probably should change it up. Like Mark said, bring in Daka or Iheanacho.
Watford versus Newcastle in a game where Newcastle probably should have won about 10-0. ended up 1-1.
Yeah.
But
great goal from Longstaff though, isn't it?
Yeah, fantastic goal.
Yep.
He smashed it. But
Newcastle, man, they should have scored at least three.
So Maximan is, I think he's one step away from actually buying a gun. Because these guys are taking the piss. This game specifically, he put about three of his teammates in one-on-one.
That Longstaff one is criminal.
No, the one at the end, Murphy. If he didn't shoot him in the dressing room, he's a mug. If he didn't punch him up in the dressing room,
I think the Murphy one, because he has a lot of time to think.
Bro, but the Longstaff one, chipping
man, he has an open goal when he skied it.
He must miss Callum Wilson with... Everything he's got, he must miss him because those two. I think Gary Neville. Someone said it when they were interviewing Saint-Maximin after the game. Actually, is that if you've got Saint-Maximin and Callum Wilson on the pitch, your chances of winning the game are just in terms of percentages are just a lot higher because the ball goes in the back.
You've got a one like guy who 1v1, he can do anyone, and you've got a guy who's actually a finisher. So
exactly,
but Joe Linton and. Do you know what's really disrespectful as well? Yeah, because in the post-match interview, match of the day, Longstaff was saying that Murphy is the best finisher at the club.
Yeah.
Joe Linton's thinking, I'm a striker, bruv. This Murphy plays right wing back.
if he's lucky, he gets a game.
Actually said that.
He actually said it. He goes, anyone I'd want in that situation, it'd be Murphy. I'm like, that is a bad indictment on you and your strikers, bro. Why on earth would you play Joe Linton? Is Dwight Gayle not still at Newcastle? Or
he's still there.
Why is he not playing? Like, this Joe Linton guy is a joke.
Dwight Gayle gets about 30 minutes a season. You should know this.
He usually comes on, taps on against Liverpool.
He usually does. No, I can't even dispute that. I don't even know why, but he does.
Yeah.
Were you serious with your question?
What did I say?
You think both of them are going down?
Yeah, they're both in like trouble.
Watford and Newcastle.
Yeah. I don't think Newcastle go down.
I think Norwich are goners.
Yeah.
And then those two spots.
I think there's a lot of teams. Sorry, Tanya. I think there are a lot of teams that are campaigning for that. Those two spots.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Tanya.
Is Sam Maximan, will he stay at Newcastle? Or will that be it? He'll go on to a bigger club.
There's absolutely no way if they get relegated, he's still there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll offer Newcastle a swap deal.
I will pay.
I'll take it.
It'll come out of my pocket. I'll pay.
Do a swap deal, mate.
Take Bergwijn
for AMN, bro.
He did a Harry Kane. He just recently signed a 6-year deal.
Oh, that's so buggy.
Can you imagine Newcastle will probably like value him like what?
They bought him for 20 million.
He's on a 6-year deal, so I think the very, very minimum they'll be looking for is 50 million.
He's got 4 years left, so.
Oh, okay.
It's
so
plenty of time.
He is 24 as well. But I wanted to ask the question because I know you're a big fan of Sarr.
Mm-hmm.
Who you having? You'd buy one.
Who am I? Ooh.
Sam Maximan. That's a good question.
That is a good question.
Because Sarr, when he was at Rennes, I looked at Sarr and I just thought, he's just pace.
He looked a bit raw at Rennes.
He's like, so much more than
he's
that.
He's got the goal. He's got the equaliser. He's got a couple goals for him this season so far.
I like him as well.
He's looking like a dangerous guy. Like he can go past people 1v1 as well. He's got...
Yeah.
And he's got obviously, well, he's got one of the biggest attributes he could have for a winger in the fact that he's lightning quick.
Mm-hmm. Scored, I think he's scored 2 on the trot in the league now as well.
No, he's scored two last week against Norwich, and he's scored this
three. I mean, by like 2 games on the trot.
I know who Mark's picking.
Yeah, he's going to pick Sarr.
No, I think Sarr's fitness record for me edges it. The only problem with St. Maximum is that, you know, you get him for 4 games, you lose him for 3. You get him for the next 4, you lose him for 2.
But what a 4 games.
But what? No. Yeah. There's no, in terms of just pure quality alone, I'd probably take St. Maximum.
Yeah.
But in terms of just the whole package, probably
you're saying so.
The headband takes it for me.
Yeah, Gucci.
Yeah, I'll buy him a new Gucci.
Yeah,
bag.
I'm going to Maximum.
If he comes first, I'll buy him one.
All right, yeah. Let's
put that question out on Twitter and we'll see what people say.
Yeah, good shout. Good.
Let's
shout.
Talk about probably the...
I'll just shout out Ben Foster as well. He was really good.
The most end-to-end game of the weekend. Liverpool versus Brentford.
No, who would have thought this would be
what a game.
Mark fixture.
Mark alluded to this at the beginning, but you need to put some respect on Ivan Toney and all the disrespect that you
sexy
all the disrespect that you gave to Ben White. You take that away and you put the respect on Ivan Toney.
Wait, was you disrespecting him?
I wasn't disrespecting Ivan Toney.
No, what I'm saying is like he at first game of the season he put all of the blame on Ben White, but Ivan Toney caused Liverpool a lot of problems.
That's true. Yeah,
so
yeah,
Ivan,
one second. Can you calm down?
What?
She's just like she literally like sat forward in her seat. Yeah. Calm down.
Sorry, just get to
me. No, but I think it's testament for the player to cause Liverpool so much trouble in the air.
Let me just say this right now. I'm going to say this right now, right? That Matip and Van Dijk partnership, Ivan Toney caused that partnership more problems than I've seen any striker in any competition. I'm talking Champions League, Premier League. He caused that partnership more problems than any striker has done for me.
It was madness.
Is it true he's only like 5'11"?
Yeah, he's 5'10". I can't believe he's the tallest 5'10".
He's shorter than me.
Listen, I couldn't believe it. He was targeting Matip quite a lot because it's incredibly difficult to beat Virgil in the air. He got the better of him a couple of times, but in the main, Virgil won his aerial duels. But Matip, I think, won 5 out of 11 or something. So those 6 that Toney won were massive. And I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I didn't know he had it in his locker like that, Ivan Toney. And I'm not talking the aerial prowess. I'm talking the domination of...
Yeah.
A really good defence, particularly Matip, who's been class this season, really struggled against him.
It was good to, like, not because of the struggling, but it was nice to watch
Liverpool struggle.
It was nice to watch, like, a striker have that level of dominance and like, physical prowess over the defenders. It was nice.
He's going to get snapped up if he continues.
Mm. Oh, he's a boyhood Liverpool fan as well. He posted on Instagram afterwards. He was like, it's not often you play your... Huh?
Firmino's shaking.
It's not. I can't remember what you said, but he's like, it's not often you play your boyhood club and blah blah blah.
No way.
He should chef him up.
But I think we've also got to give credit and someone just fill in this gap for a moment while I find the name.
Mbeumo.
I don't think you can give credit to Toney without giving absolutely. Huge praise to Mbeumo because
his work rate is ridiculous.
He was really good. Good and not just against us, he's been good this season.
He was amazing against us as well.
And he was amazing in the championship. Like the fact that they've managed to step up and keep that the same way they play in the championship, they're playing in the Premier League. The it's the same players basically and
they look like a really well coached side, like you with the first goal. Clearly, that's been worked on.
But even like when you see like 3 or 4 clips from the game where they've got, let's say they've got the player with the ball on one side of the pitch and they're targeting the fullback on the other side with 3 players there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so brave to do, like, because if you think about it, like, they could get caught on the break. But they were still doing it the whole game and they got their.
Yeah. It was a really frustrating game. I think it was the game of the season so far. Definitely.
The season actually be really good.
Season's been
games, yeah.
really good. Gary Neville said it again on his podcast. It is a decent little listen now. But he said he thinks since 92, since the Prem started, he says in terms of quality and action, this has been the best start to a Premier League ever, he said.
Yeah. Loads of
and having fans back, etc.
Not for Spurs fans.
No, but you know, Tans, in the general sense. just football.
Makes it better.
Of course it does.
Just chill, because you are both on 9 points. So you're kind of still out here level.
Well, listen, my team didn't drop points at the weekend, so Imagine not being Brentford, bro.
No, but it was a frustrating 2 points to drop. But actually, in hindsight,
you're happy with the point.
Not happy with the point. I'm just there were a few frustrating things in that game, like Henderson playing on the right of midfield. I think he just needs to chill a little bit because he's not Harvey Elliott, and I don't think. When Harvey Elliott played there at the start of the season.
He brought in a quality ball, though, for Jota.
So basically, yeah, you're saying Hendo needs to come outside.
Cool, so basically everyone's just not letting me finish my sentence. Sorry. Cool.
By everyone.
Abdi included. and Daniel. Hendo doesn't absolutely not need to come out of the side. But what he needs to do is stop thinking he's Harvey Elliott and trying to patrol that right-hand side and actually just kind of get back to providing a bit more cover to Trent. Because Trent was out here on his own. And no protection. Matip was getting bullied by Tony, and Matip's our right centre back.
There was like two aerial duels where, for two of the goals, where Trent was just against like
just five players. On his own. And it was an obvious game plan from Brentford. You said it earlier, you know, change the direction of play. When we do, make sure we've got the numbers advantage. And I think it was the, I can't remember which goal it was, but, you know, Trent did pretty well in the air, kind of won the ball, but they had so was many players around him.
I think it was the second one, Yanel. Where I think it was Janssen hit the bar.
No, because there was the third one as well when the same thing happened, and then Trent was all by himself. Jota could have come in a little bit, and then Brentford won the second ball.
But I mean, all in all, I know we're running out of time, so we'll try and be quick here. Some frustrating chances that we missed. Salah missed a chance at 3-2 up that I would have usually. Again, I said I can't remember who I said this about earlier, but I would have put my house on him scoring that usually. And that would have put us 4-2 up, and it would have put the game to bed. So really frustrating in that sense.
You're living in the street now.
I'm living in the street now. Yeah, yeah. Can I stay here tonight?
Yeah. No. we've got the game on.
So that was frustrating.
I need to give some praise to Jota, man. He's been sick this season.
Jota's been good. Salah's been class. 100 club for Liverpool. He's now 10th in our all-time top scorers list.
100 to 151 is just ridiculous,
it's,
man.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's up there with like the likes of Henri, like Kane.
He's the fourth fastest to do it one singular club.
Crazy, man.
Henri's actually behind him, so obviously... Gotta let Abdi know that, because Abdi's always quick to point these things out to me.
That's true.
But yeah, all in all, it's at the end of the day, a point is a point. We're still the only unbeaten team in the league, and I know we're only 6 games in, and no one's chatting about going unbeaten. But if you offered me four wins and 2 draws from 6, there's a chance I probably would have taken it with a W in your first game in the Champions League. You know, through to the next round of the Carling Cup, been a good season for us. The icing on the cake would have been Salah putting us 4-2 up then and us seeing that game out.
That striker for Brentford, though, like he came on, he scored a sick goal for them in midweek.
No, I think they won like 9-0 or 7-0.
They won 7-0. But he came on late in that game. And it was like an overhead kick or something like that.
A scissor kick, yeah.
Watch out for him, James Wissa.
No,
it was a nice finish.
I really like seeing players come through from countries that you don't usually get in terms of A, creating like big footballers, and B, coming to the Prem.
Yeah.
And I really like to see that, so I will keep an eye on him, and I'm not even being sarcastic because it's good to see that. But yeah, credit to Brentford. I mean, I've got nothing bad to say about
that stadium,
them at all.
So many people are going to get hotted up on that stadium.
Listen, is the stadium what, 20K?
But it's so loud. They're so loud.
We were walking out, right? We were walking out of the tunnel, and honestly, I thought this atmosphere Brentford will pick up a lot of points there this season.
They called
them
a bus stop in Hounslow.
I think
a little bit more than a bus stop rounds, you know.
Yeah, no, honestly, big credit to Brentford, and I think Thomas Frank is outside of anything Liverpool related. I've got to say he's fast tracked himself to being one of my favourite coaches out there. Not in terms of tactics, but just his persona. I really like it.
Thomas Frank, don't come.
We all wrote Brentford off at the start of the season.
We did, yeah.
And
it's still 6 still games, early. But
no. But it is impressive. But to me,
they look impressive.
They will pick up points regularly this season, particularly
Could
at home.
The
they're going to
be
completely fine.
They've lost one game, and that was in the last minute against Brighton. Mm. So.
Yeah. Southampton versus Wolves.
One thing happened in this game, and that's it.
No, I was going to say, like, Southampton had loads of chances.
I didn't watch it.
And then Wolves just scored the only chance they had.
That was probably Diego Costa type finish, you know. Jimenez is back.
Yeah, he really needed that. It was his first goal in 6. I think, in the league. But aside from the goals, he had so many chances. Well, Wolves in general have just had so many chances this season and haven't put them away. But Jimenez in particular, there were chances that he would have 2 years ago would have absolutely sunk him. So it's good to see him get his
They seem to be better away from home. Like, they got their only two wins away from home.
I feel bad for Southampton because they had a lot of chances. And, like, Armstrong and...
Che Adams.
They're not finding the net.
Every time Southampton win, you ask me to come outside. So,
yeah, what's
that? That's why I kept my mouth shut. I was like, this week is just on Jamie Vardy. It, yeah. But what's his name? That Bednarek. Whew. He for that goal. I was about to call him Diego Costa, but Jimenez treated him like Tony treated Ben White on the opening day.
Yeah, we're just waiting for something. All right. Anything else? But happy for Jimenez. But
yeah. And well, just in general, just that's a big win for Wolves because, you know, I alluded to it literally just a second ago. They just aren't picking up the points and they aren't putting the ball in
I'm
the back of the
you,
net.
I'm telling you, loads of teams are campaigning to go down, man.
They took some horrible penalties against Tottenham. Boy, bro.
Yeah, oh, yeah, tell a lie.
Neves never misses penalties, bro.
Neves never misses a pen, you're right.
Shocking pens, I have to
Connor
say.
Connor Cody smashed the bar. Someone else, Dendonka, missed as well.
Yeah, can we talk? I was so surprised. This is a tangent. I was so surprised to see City get West Ham away in the League Cup draw.
Yeah, they finally got a tough
usually
game.
They don't get a tough game
Forest
until
Green Rovers. Like, but to be fair, they played Wickham in it.
So. Yeah, it is a good cup draw actually, and I've been screaming this. I wouldn't mind a little domestic cup win, and that includes the League Cup.
Wait, it'd be nice. Who have you got?
We got Preston. We actually for once got blessed.
Leeds.
Leeds. That would be a really good game.
Yeah. We'll slap you lot up.
We'll see how Arsenal deal with Leeds is one.
Did you
man
not see what Arteta
on
did at the weekend? All I'm saying is Arteta Pep, but I don't know which one was the difference in it. It's like Spider-Man meeting popping at you. I'm joking.
Well, Abdi has he's gone for delusions today.
Yeah,
three wins.
Mando Noya, Aaron Ramsdale. I don't know.
It's actually four, but anyway.
Four, no, we don't count the we count the League Cup because I did just pick it up.
Yeah, I was about to say
Ben White, more like Ben Maldini.
Any more?
Let's stop. Let's talk about the weirdest derby in the Premier League.
The Gatwick Derby.
I've just called it the Gatwick Derby. I don't even know what the road is. That is it. M23. Is that something like that? M23 Derby.
Not,
whatever.
They're not even close. Like why do they hate each other?
Oh, because this stems from when they were in the lower leagues and stuff.
They used to fight.
No, because one of their managers, I think it was the manager of Brighton, went to Palace. And Brighton were doing well, and then Palace were doing poorly, and then Palace started doing well, and they started hating each other.
Cool story, bro.
Okay. So Palace, they've looked all right. They haven't really picked up the points that maybe their performances deserve.
Sorry for cutting you up there. I just wanted to say one thing. I've got to give real credit to Patrick Vieira for coming in and just... Palace were one of the most boring teams to watch last season or throughout that Roy Hodgson tenure. And it worked, you know, they're consistently in the Premier League and very rarely looked like they were in trouble of going down. But Patrick Vieira's come in actually and said, we're not doing this anymore. We're going to play expansive, good on the eye football. And I think good for him because there would have been a lot to change there in terms of how Roy Hodgson set up that team weekly, how he trained them. So good on Patrick Vieira, and that's pretty much my two pence for this game.
Yeah, and credit must as well on top of that is that they had 15 players at the end of their contract at the end of last season. So it's a lot of new faces, and he's managed to gel them in quite quickly.
I don't get IU on the right wing though. Do you see that taunt he missed? Vieira's face was like, oh,
no, but that's another one. Stamp you. Do you remember you were talking about what's my guy's name? The Villa one, Ings and
Watkins,
where Watkins should have squared it. I should have squared it to Benteke, who was literally in front
and
of
Zaha
the goal.
Was there as well, actually, if I remember correctly.
So I don't know. He should have squared it because his finishing is not the one.
Did you see Junior at left back? He's a good player, you know.
He's a good player. He had a few moments.
Yeah, where who fouled Gallagher? Was it him?
It was Gallagher. Yeah. He had a few moments.
He pushed him into Trossard, and Trossard fouled him. Yeah.
He had a good Olympics as well for Spain.
I didn't even know he was Spanish. I thought he was like Mexican or something. nice. But I think for the most part, Brentford, Brentford. Brighton, if they won that game, they would have gone top, innit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they missed the chance to go top. I think if Bissouma was playing, because Palace were having their way with him a bit in midfield, and Brentford didn't really offer much. Having said that, Guaita, that clearance right at the end was so poor. And then who
it wasn't a clearance, it was a goal kick.
Poor. Yeah, the goal kick.
It was a goal kick.
I don't know who was who played that first time ball. That was beautiful. Like, first time in the
and
air.
Mope.
And then Mope. What a finish.
Did you see the anyone watch his interview on Sky Sports? It was Carragher, Henry and the presenter, Poster. Jones, something, yeah, whatever David his name Jones. Is. But yeah, it was just, you could tell, Mope was happy, like, that he got the last minute goal. But when he started chatting to Thierry,
he
basically just said, like, "This is the first time I've ever spoken to you.
I'd bust it open for you, bruv."
Do you know what? It's essentially what he said, bro. Yeah. Like, he kind of was just a little bit starstruck. But it was nice to see that. Like, it's just that human side.
He probably
side
didn't
of a player.
Expect it as well.
Yeah, he probably didn't.
Yeah.
But it was a quality finish. And we're talking about Bruno missing a penalty right at the end. A chance right at the end to stay focused and be able to because he said it in the interview afterwards. He said he saw that the goalkeeper was running back, and goalkeepers, when they're running back, they don't jump high enough. Mm-hmm. So he just...
Not an easy finish either.
No, not at all. That's what I'm saying. Like, it was quality, composed finish, and he knew exactly what he was doing.
He's got Graham Potter, man.
And he's got... I got you next week.
They do.
Yeah, I hope Bissouma's not fit, because without Bissouma, they don't really look much in midfield. So we've got an opportunity, but we'll see, innit?
Yeah. Cool. That brings us to the end of the games this week. I know.
Mm-hmm.
But the bit you've all been waiting for, man of the week. So this week we're starting with Tanya. Hi, Tanya.
Hey.
That's not fair. You've started with everyone for the last 5 weeks, and you haven't started with me.
We've made an agreement that we would give everyone a chance. Like, I don't know what this guy's doing.
It's all right. Just have me last that you want to.
No, you're next. This guy.
I'm going to give it to Gabriel Jesus for scoring the winning goal.
You're
going
to give it to Gabriel from Arsenal. I was going to say, boy, that's bold.
No. Got the winning goal.
It's like work, man. Harry Kane, it's like work, man.
Worked hard for the team. What more is there to say?
It's very enthusiastic, Tanya. Adi?
I hate football.
I was going to give it to Bernardo Silva, but I have to respect the next Ballon d'Or. I'm going to give it to Bukayo Saka. He's a goal and assist, and just, you know, showing what it's like to be a generational talent.
Who are you going to give it to? Smith Rowe, who basically got a goal and assist and then was...
Is this your nomination?
No, 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 no. No, I'm just saying what you should have done.
Do Smith Rowe.
I'm telling you what you should have done. So me, I'm going to give it to Jimenez. All right, Mark.
No, this is good, because I'm fourth, but I've still got who I wanted to pick.
Jimenez, he's back, and it's a big goal for him, and it's the winning goal, and Wolves desperately needed the points. So, Mark?
I'm going to give it to, I think this guy's been nominated almost every week, but Antonio got the winner again for West Ham. He's just coming on strength to strength this season, and as Abdi said, he shows no signs of slowing down. So,
cool. So those are our nominations. Keep your eye out on Instagram and Twitter to see who wins. If there's nothing else, we'll see you on the next exciting episode.
Talk them get battered everywhere they go.
We'll talk about that later.
Sports Social Podcast Network.